Are you feeling stressed in your marriage? Well, today on the To Love, Honor, and Vacuum podcast, we're going to help you get to the bottom of that. I'm Sheila Ray Gregoire from tolovehonorandvacuum.com, the blog where we like to talk about how marriage doesn't have to be a to-do list, but instead can be a passionate adventure. And yet, I know a lot of us are not experiencing a lot of passion or a lot of adventure because life has just gotten really difficult. And one of the things I've noticed is that when you are stressed, you tend to lash out at the person closest to you, and that tends to be your spouse. So you get snippy at them, you get grumpy, you feel like you're always exhausted, and so you feel like they are contributing to your workload, and life is just rotten. And then you start thinking to yourself, look at all the marriage problems we have. We're not communicating. We're not having sex. Our marriage must be in the toilet. But what if it's not a marriage problem? Like, what if the stress that you're feeling is more of a warning sign that life has just gotten out of hand and you got to make some changes? I really think that a lot of marriage problems, if you look at the heart of them, are more that people have gotten too busy, too overburdened, not organized enough, whatever the problem might be. But it's not something that's actually between the two of you. It's something about how you're doing life. And if we can fix that life part, then often the marriage part gets fixed too. I'm not talking about every marriage problem, okay? There's lots of marriage problems that are far deeper than that and that are really related to character issues in your spouse. And we'll talk about that in a later podcast. But today, I want to talk about just the day-to-day things that can bring stress, that can then make us feel like there's something wrong with our marriage. So I have invited my daughter Rebecca on to talk to me about this. She's a millennial, so she's in that stressful generation, and she's about to have a baby, so that's a whole other reason for stress. And this is something that she and I talk about a lot as we're trying to sort out how to do life. So Becca, hello.
Hello.
So you had a thought about how you wanted to introduce this based on a children's book, so tell us about that.
Okay, here's what I have noticed for me and my husband as we've been married, and I am someone who's also very easily overwhelmed and very easily gets stressed.
That's very true.
Definitely
very true.
Yeah, I've been really open by the fact that I had like all sorts of panic attacks and anxiety while I was in university. And even now, even though I'm doing real good, if we have a bad day, I just need to go to my room and cry for a little bit because I'm just overwhelmed. And Connor knows that now. But what I've realized is that a lot of the times, the things that are stressful, it's really hard to pinpoint what exactly it is because it's this conglomerate of all these little decisions put together. And it's a lot like the book, If You Give a Mouse a Cookie.
I love that book.
I love that book too. So here's what I mean, okay? Here, a big one that my husband and I were fighting about all the time early in our marriage was just clutter in our apartment, okay? Mm-hmm. We didn't have a lot of money. We were living on my husband's part-time job while we were both in full-time school paying tuition. You know, we were kind of stressed. And so whenever there were sales on stuff, we would get them. So if you buy the 4 t-shirts for $5, you know, then you need a place to store them. And if you need a place to store them, that means that you need to then go out to Salvation Army and buy the $10 set of drawers because you can't necessarily afford to just go to IKEA or something like that. But that means that if you have the set of drawers, you need to dust the set of drawers. Mm-hmm. And if you need to dust the set of drawers, then that means you need to put more time towards your cleaning every week because there's more to dust. And if you're putting more time towards your cleaning, then there's less time to meal prep and there's less time to study. And if there's less time to meal prep and there's less time to study, you're going to eat pizza at the library instead. And if you're eating pizza at the library, you know what's going to happen? You're going to fart a lot more. And you're not going to feel the greatest about yourself. And if you're farting a lot more, you're not going to feel as romantic at the end of the day. And if you're not feeling as romantic at the end of the day, it's going to be harder to connect with your spouse. It's going to be easier just to watch Netflix on the couch or play League of Legends for 4 hours. And if you're doing that, then, well, your marriage is not quite as good anymore.
Right.
All because you bought those 4 t-shirts for $5.
Now, that's a bit of an exaggeration, obviously.
Exactly, yeah.
But it's not that far of an exaggeration.
No, because we get into these habits where we think that we're doing something to help with the overall problem of, for us, it was we don't have a lot of money and all that kind of thing. But we also could have just, you know, not bought things when they were on sale and still been fine. There would have been less cleaning to do. And actually, the big thing that we did to make our lives less stressful back then was to actually purge our tiny one-bedroom apartment with not that much stuff so that cleaning and laundry became so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
And our marriage became a lot easier at that point, too, when we had less stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really think stuff is a huge source of stress for people that they don't realize. When you have so much stuff in your house, it's hard to find anything. And think yes. about how much time you spend trying to find something important. When you're not organized and you're always looking for that other shoe, or you know, your kid's homework, or those barrettes for your children, or the papers that you had taken to work today, and they're somewhere in all of the piles on your table. You know, when you have to be doing that all the time, that does lead to a lot of stress, and that stress carries with you all day.
It really does. And I think that's one of those little things that can add up that we all just don't even pay attention to because it just seems so mundane and normal. When we look for areas of stress, we're looking at, okay, is my job terrible? Do I feel like can we not afford our car or our house? We look to the big things. And mm-hmm. But I think that sometimes it's that we've created these lifestyles where we have all these little things that are sucking all of the life out of us. Like, it's not like we're carrying one 45-pound weight around our neck. We're right. carrying 45 one-pound weights.
Yes. Yes. And it all adds up to the same thing. Here's a question for all of you listeners. How many of you have a room or a closet that you're afraid to go in? I mean, I know that I do. And that is stressful because it's like you try to ignore it. You try to not look when you walk by. But the reason that you don't want to go in there is because there's just so much stuff. It's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Or you haven't cleaned it in a while. And so every time you walk by, it's guilt. It's this guilt of this huge thing that you have not done. And every time we add guilt to ourselves, we add stress. So that can be one area of stress for people, you know, just having too much stuff. Here's another area of stress. Maybe the way that your children are acting, for those of you who have kids, is causing you a lot of stress, and there's actually ways around it that you haven't found yet. One example, mealtimes. Maybe mealtimes are just always horrible because your kids cry about what you're serving and they won't sit at the table and they throw things at each other or they get into fights. And it's like you've lost any semblance of what it means to be a family. And that is stressful.
Yeah. And as the picky kid in the family.
You really were. Katie would eat horrible. Anything. Katie would eat stuff. You were like, no, the food can't be touching each other.
For Pete's sake, Katie ate birdseed.
She did.
Yeah, yeah, I was really, really quite picky. But as a picky kid in the family, like, they can learn to suck it up.
but yeah, and I think also, as a family, having traditions around the table, one thing we always did was we talked to each other. I think often parents ignore their kids. Like, they sit at the table and then they talk to each other, but they ignore the kids, and then the kids are just plain bored. And so the kids act out, and then you get mad at the children, and it all spirals downward. If you're going to sit at the table, you have to involve the kids in conversation.
Exactly, because if the kids are bored, too, they're going to be focusing a lot more on the Brussels sprouts on their plate, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas if they're talking, they might just eat the Brussels sprouts and not even realize they're eating them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so have set things that you talk to your kids about. And learn, and you know, you can do research on that. Talk to parents who just have great family times at tables and ask them what they did. And then read some books on how to get your kids to eat stuff. Because, you know, if your kid is like 7 and will only eat peanut butter sandwiches, that is a problem.
And it's also dangerous. Your kids need nutrients.
Yeah, so your kids do need to be eating a balanced diet. And that's something that, while it looks really difficult, it can be solved. It just may take a little bit of an issue, but it can be solved. Now, I understand that there are some kids with sensory issues, autism, all those things, where it is a lot more difficult, and that's where you're going to need that expert help. So I'm talking about normal families here. I understand that some families have a lot more challenges, but for those who don't have those kinds of challenges, this really can be solved.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there's the sleep issue.
Yes, this is one that I feel very strongly about because I'm about to become a mom and I'm the kind of person who needs like 9 hours of sleep a night or else I just become a not great person. So we're going to see how I am these first couple months. But Connor and I have actually already decided, like, this is something we talked about really quite early on in the pregnancy because it was a huge source of stress for me. We decided that if by a certain time, by the time the kid is a certain amount old, and this is based on psychological research, if we can't have him sleeping through the night in the way that he's supposed to, like with only waking up once or twice a night, we are hiring a sleep consultant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just something that we decided as a couple, because we know that having kids who don't sleep is going to wreak havoc on everything else in our lives.
Yeah.
We need to have kids who sleep, for us personally, and also just there are studies that show that if your kids sleep, you're happier. Like, I mean, I don't know why anyone had to study that. I mean, let's be honest. But there are things that you can do, and there are evidence-based techniques that are there to train kids how to sleep. And if your kids aren't sleeping, there are experts specifically in the field of sleep consulting who will come, and they will teach you how to get your kid to sleep. And usually kids figure it out within a week.
Yeah.
1 week.
Yeah. And that's we had to do that. You know, my husband was a pediatrician. He had access to all kinds of research, and we just worked through what the experts said to do with both you and Katie. And it was tough for a couple of days, but then you did sleep, and everybody was so much happier. Like, everybody was so much happier. And I look at parents who haven't slept in like 2 or 3 years, and I think, how in the world are you functioning? If that's what's going on, no wonder you're feeling stress.
No wonder you're feeling disconnected from your husband. You don't have the emotional energy to be connected if you haven't slept very well in years.
Mm-hmm. So these are things that, you know, it may look like your issue is a marriage one if you're always fighting with your husband, but if these things are what's going on below the surface, it may be that you're snipping at your husband is more of a warning sign of these other things. And if you dealt with these other things, then you may find that the stress in your marriage really goes down. Okay, here's another one. Maybe all of you couldn't relate to those ones. Maybe you guys already are super organized. You don't have any clutter. You have children who eat, or you don't have children at all. You both get enough sleep. But what about money?
Yes, money.
Money is another huge reason for stress, because people don't talk about their money, their budgets, first of all. And then also, they don't understand what it means to live within your means.
Yeah, and that's a really big thing that Connor and I wanted to make sure we were on the same page on before we even got married. But we feel really lucky because both of us were raised in families that we think were excellent role models for how to think about money. Because both his parents and you guys, like, both of us learned a lot of really good lessons when we were teenagers. We both ended up being quite able to budget. Wasn't stressful to have to figure out how to pay bills because we already had been taught all of that stuff. And I know that a lot of people don't go into marriage knowing that already.
Yeah. But I think, too, that there's this big push that there are certain things that everybody needs in order to be a real family. So, for instance, you need to have a house. You need to have a car. And the house needs to look a certain way. And then people just get in over their heads way too early.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think a lot of people don't even realize, even with the buying a house, because this is a big consideration for us, is because we still live in an apartment, just for reference. We will be in an apartment for at least a couple more years. And we're fine with that, personally, because we also realize that when we buy a house, you know what you have to buy? A lot of furniture.
Yeah.
And people don't think about that. And so they save up for the down payment, then they have a house, and then all of a sudden you have to spend another $6,000 furnishing the entire thing. And that's really stressful.
And then the furnace goes or something.
Exactly. Or the washing machine breaks, or, you know, just it's a lot. It's again like if you give a mouse a cookie. Mm-hmm. If you buy a house, then you have to furnish it. And if you furnish it, then there's all these different things.
Well, and even Dave Ramsey, I mean, everyone says, well, Dave Ramsey says you should buy a house. No, what Dave Ramsey actually says is that you should live as frugally as possible until you have the money, not just to afford the house payments, but also to afford everything that goes on with the house. Because a lot of people on paper can afford the house payments, but what they're not ready for is, when the furnace breaks or when the roof needs to be redone, or the fact that when you do move into that house, suddenly you have to furnish it. So it's not enough to just have it on paper that I can afford the house payment, because when you're looking at how much you spend on rent versus how much you would spend on a mortgage, it really does look like you're throwing money away by renting. It really does. And I understand the urge that people have to buy a house, and buying a house very often is the right decision. But you need to, the difference is, people will tend to rent places that are far smaller than when they buy. Mm-hmm. Because when you buy, you often buy for where you want to be living in 15 years. So you buy up. So you live in a 2-bedroom apartment, but no one's going to buy a 2-bedroom house that is 900 square feet. You know, people want
exactly
a house that's at least 1,800 square feet with 4 bedrooms or something. So it's a big step up. Whereas if you're willing to live in that 2-bedroom apartment for just a couple of years longer, then you can save for that bigger down payment. You can have a huge emergency fund that can cover things like the furnace going. Because, you know, you really should have a fund set aside that's, I think most people say about between 2 and 5% of the cost of the overall house you should be putting into maintenance every year. So, you know, that's a lot of money.
Yep. It's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. So you need to have that set aside as well. So for a lot of people, renting is a smarter choice. And when people buy too early, that can cause a lot of stress.
Well, when it comes to renting too, Connor and I, one of the things we love about renting is that we don't have the emotional burden of owning our home right now, because we aren't in a place where we want to buy a house right now. But the thing is, we also need to worry about if there's a plumbing problem, it's not our problem. Mm-hmm. You know, and if the roof needs to be replaced, it's not our problem. And those are things that right now we're very grateful to not have on our plate, just because of where we are personally. Mm-hmm. And that's also something which you kind of do pay for when you rent, is to not have to worry about those things.
Right.
Yeah. And we really appreciate that personally. And also the thing is, when you're renting, as my husband says, he always said, it isn't actually throwing money away, because you know what? We've got a roof over our heads. So we're paying for something.
Right. And what people often don't factor in as well is that when you do buy the house, even if the mortgage payment is similar to what your rental payment is, there's insurance, there's property taxes. If you live in a condo, there's condo fees. There's a lot more that goes into buying. And so you just don't want to stretch yourself. And I think that one of the reasons that people do stretch themselves is that we have this feeling like, I'm not a real family until I have the 2 cars in the house.
Yeah, or I'm not a real grown up, or mm-hmm. something like that. Or I'm giving my kids less because they're going to be in an apartment, not a house.
Yeah. You and Katie lived, we lived in a 2-bedroom apartment in Toronto until you were 4.
Exactly.
And it wasn't until you were 4 that we had a house, and you and Katie did fine. We actually had a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we're going to be having our little guy is going to be born in our little apartment. We don't have a backyard, mm-hmm. but we have a park near on the road.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we did every day. I would put you guys in a stroller and we would do a different activity every day. So you got out of the small apartment. It kept all of us sane, but it worked really well for that time. So it's okay. I'm not saying buying is bad. Okay.
No.
Buying is often a very smart financial choice. It's just when you do it before it's a good idea, the amount of stress you add to your life is quite astronomical.
Exactly. I think that's actually a common thread just in life in general. When you do something before its appointed time, problems come up.
That's right. And to everything, there is a time.
Exactly.
And a season to every activity under heaven. And so we need to make sure that we're doing it at
the right
time.
A time to buy and a time to rent, right?
Yes, exactly. And a time to buy and a time to lease, talking about cars as well. Like, I think a lot of people get into a lease situation, which is far more expensive than it needs to be, because you can lease a car, which is way nicer than you would ever buy.
Mm-hmm.
For almost the same price as buying a car, but then you don't have the asset at the end. So there's times where leasing is a good idea, but there's times when it just adds to your financial stress, because you could have, if you'd bought a much cheaper car, you might not have a car payment at all. So, yes. You know, and so these are all things to talk about, because sometimes, you know, it's like Becca said, the 45 1-pound weights, right? You have too high a car payment. You have something come up that you have to put a ton of money into your house. You know,
you just
kids
have too many clothes. And so every other week you have 8 loads of laundry to do.
Yeah. And all of these things add up. And so the more that you can examine your life and say, is my life causing me stress in ways that are unnecessary? and then deal with those things, the more you may find that your stress and anxiety in marriage goes way down.
And I hope that you find that to be a hopeful message too, because I think it's a good message to be able to say, hey, maybe you and your spouse are fine.
Yeah.
Maybe there's just something in the way.
Yeah. Because not all marriage problems are actually marriage problems. And if we can get rid of some of these other things, You may find that it's a lot easier to divvy up the housework when there's not as much to clean and when there's exactly. not as much crap everywhere. You know, like, these things matter. And for some people, I know that we're talking about buying a house, but heck, if you've already bought a house, then what are you supposed to do? But for some people, you know, downsizing can seriously reduce stress. And I have a great post on that, which I will put in the link in the description of this podcast. Every time I do a podcast, I put a large blog post on my blog at tolovehonorandvacuum.com with lots of extras and rabbit trails that you can take. And I will put a link to that post on why downsizing can be worth it. Because for a lot of us, that can be the end of a lot of stress. I just encourage you this week to take a look at the causes of stress in your marriage and ask, is this really a marriage issue? Because sometimes it isn't.
Can you think your way to a great marriage? 9 Thoughts That Can Change Your Marriage shows how we often think wrongly about submission, sex, conflict, even anger, and how changing how you think can actually change how you feel and act, too. Don't settle for an okay marriage. Get a great marriage with 9 Thoughts That Can Change Your Marriage.
I've started a new project onto Love, Honor, and Vacuum where every week I like to give you a weekly challenge, something that can help you boost your marriage. And they're not hard. They take very little time. And I promise you, they're usually going to take very, very little money, if not be totally free. And that's the story with this week's challenge too. What I want you guys to do is to sit down and identify your big sources of stress that aren't necessarily about your marriage. Things like all the things that we've been talking about, whether it's that your kids don't sleep, that you're in over your head financially, that you just can't find stuff in the morning when you're trying to head out the door, that morning routines are chaotic, whatever it might be. So here's how you're going to do it, okay? Sit down with your husband and get a piece of paper and a pen, whatever, and write out all of your sources of stress without talking to each other about them. Just write them out. And then I want you to rate them on a scale of 1 to 5, with 1 being the least amount of stress and 5 being the most amount of stress. And then once you finish that, you can compare notes, see if you've written some of the same things. And then together, take each of those things and give them a second rating on 1 to 5 on how easy it might be to address some of those things, with 1 being super hard, just can't address it, and 5 being, yeah, I think there is something we can do about this. And you may find that when you add those scores together, you got a bunch of 9s and 10s there. So then pick 1 or 2 9s or 10s and decide that we are going to brainstorm about how we are going to deal with this source of stress. That's your challenge. It means you got to sit down and talk to each other, but make it fun. You know, get a cup of hot chocolate ready, get a nice snack going. Whatever it might be. Heck, you can even do it in the bathtub for all I care. But, you know, I used to seriously take notes in the bathtub all the time. Maybe that's too much information. I know that stuff gets wet, but, you know, it works. But do this together. Talk about it, because if we can uncover some of these sources of stress and then brainstorm about how to fix it now at the beginning of the year when everything is new and everything is starting again, then you might reduce a lot of those negative patterns that we tend to get into. So try that challenge. And I want to share with you now a way that you can do that challenge in an even more fun way that can have an even bigger impact on your marriage. I talked in the blog post, and again, I will put a link to that in the description for this podcast, but I talked in the blog post about an awesome new app called Get Your Marriage On. It's put out by the same people who did the Ultimate Intimacy app for sex, which I was talking about all last year. And Get Your Marriage On, it's kind of like a mini marriage counselor. It's really fun. They've got tons and tons of videos by experts talking about different aspects of your marriage. They're very short videos. They're right to the point. And then there's all kinds of different topics that you can tackle. There's resolving conflict, emotional intimacy, love languages. Obviously, there's going to be sex there. And then there's all these extras too. And one of those extras is how to have marriage meetings. There's a series of videos explaining to you how important marriage meetings are, how you can have them, how to make them the most effective. And then there's even pre-made agendas that you can use in your marriage. You can sync the app with your spouse. You can put notes to each other. It's super fun. It helps communication. One of the aspects of it that I love the most is you can make a vision board. And my husband and I are totally going to do this. And I'll show it to you next week on the blog too, where you can put in pictures and thoughts of where you want to go with your marriage. And then you can sync that so that you each have the same vision in mind. And I think that if we can keep that long-term vision in place, then it's much easier to see that we got to get rid of some of these sources of stress. Check out Get Your Marriage On. Thank you to them for sponsoring this podcast and for the blog series this month, where we're going to be talking about how to reduce the stress in our marriage and just live our best life. And I hope you have a lot of fun with the app, because I've been having fun with it too. Every week on the podcast, I like to take a reader question and take a stab at answering it. And today's is actually super short. It's just simply this. A woman wants to know, how do you make sure that routines don't take over and that you lose sight of the marriage? And I think what she means is, how do you keep it so that the day-to-day of life doesn't squeeze out your marriage? Totally get it. And I thought that that was a great question for what we're dealing with today. My big picture answer would be this. The more responsibilities you have and the busier your schedule is, the more routines are going to take over. You just need margins in your life. So I think the best way to make sure that routines don't take over, first of all, is to minimize the number of routines. And then second of all, it's to make sure that you can get through those routines as quickly and efficiently as possible. As we're gearing up for the school year, I want to challenge all of the parents, especially who are listening to this, to take a look at your schedule. And a lot of us, we want our kids to be in extracurricular activities. I know I really wanted my kids to take piano. And they did. They both took piano for years and years and years, well into their teenagehood. And they're both excellent pianists now, and they can both play in church. And that was always my desire for them. I also really wanted them to learn how to swim, because I thought that was a basic safety thing. And they both turned out to be lifeguards, so that worked out well too. But sometimes we can get so busy with extracurricular activities that we don't have time just to spend as a family. And I encourage you, as you start to look at your schedule, make sure that you have at least minimum 3 nights a week when you're going to be eating dinner as a family. And I don't just mean that there's 3 nights a week where between the hours of 5:30 and 6:30 you are all at home in the same house. I mean that you're going to be home in the same house and you don't need to go rushing out right afterwards. I also mean that you're going to be home in the same house and you have time to make dinner. So you're not rushing around trying to figure out what to make. So that's not going to work if you have kids who have karate from like 3:30 until 5:30, and then you get home and you're home from 5:30 till 7, but then someone else has another activity at 7. That's just a recipe for exhaustion and for stress. So make sure that you have time for 3 meals. Here's why this is important. We often look at the short term and we think, oh, my child really wants to do gymnastics, or they really want to do karate, or sports is so good for them. And that may very well be true. But in the long term, what's best for your kids is that they have time, downtime with their siblings, so that they can just relax, get to know each other, play with each other, that they have time talking to you, and that you spend time when you're not rushed, just getting to know them, just talking about their day, reading books to them, playing board games together. All of these things are going to help you to forge a relationship where they feel comfortable with you, where they feel like you care about them and you're involved in their lives. And then when they get to be teenagers, they're going to be far more likely to talk to you. And when they're adults, they're going to have a far closer relationship with you. If you spend all of your life rushing around from activity to activity, then suddenly your family is no longer the place where those conversations take place, because there's no natural place for those conversations to occur. So if you don't want, you know, routines to take over, then you've got to make sure that you have a minimum number of routines and that your life just isn't too busy. So take a look at that, first of all. The other part of it is just figuring out, how can I be more organized? As Rebecca's getting ready to deliver pretty soon, I spent a lot of time this weekend looking over some recipes for slow cooker freezer meals, where you can freeze a whole bunch of meals ahead of time. And then you just take them out the night before, allow them to thaw in the fridge overnight, and then just stick them in the slow cooker and your meal's all ready. You might have to still make some rice or some side veggies or something, or a side salad, but meal prep is a whole lot easier than when you have to stand there and figure out what you're making. that's the kind of thing where if we can do things ahead of time, if you can meal prep ahead of time, if you can get a cleaning schedule so that a little bit gets done every day and everybody's involved in that, 10 minutes before dinner, everybody is involved, you set the timer and everybody picks up and tidies up for 10 minutes. And then after dinner, maybe there's one chore that everybody does every day so that all of you are working right after dinner. Maybe one of you does the dishes and one of you runs around and cleans the bathrooms and one child dusts the furniture or something. But if you do things like that all of the time consistently, you'll find that things just aren't as stressful at home because you're organized. Housework is going to take the same amount of time, whether we do it in an organized fashion or not. I mean, maybe that's not necessarily true because sometimes you just may not clean. But if you want to live in a relatively clean house where you can find stuff, it's going to take the same amount of time. The question is, are you going to do it in emergency mode or are you going to do it ahead of time so that it doesn't cause stress? And the more that we can get more efficient and organized at that kind of thing, then the more you reduce the stress in your home and you have more time with your spouse. So those are some thoughts. My other answer would be to think ahead of time if you want your marriage to be a priority to make sure that it isn't the last thing on your to-do list. So plan one meal a week where the kids are maybe going to eat early and then they're going to settle in for a movie a night or whatever it might be. And then you and your husband get to eat on your own. And maybe you're going to play a board game as a couple or do a puzzle or do something fun, just the two of you. Date nights don't always have to be going out and spending a lot of money. Sometimes you can just prioritize each other at night. And one of the things that I just love, and I talk about this all the time, and I will always talk about this because I think it's such an important marriage habit, is at the end of the day, talk about what was your best moment of the day and what was your worst moment of the day. It helps us figure out where our spouse is emotionally. It helps us figure out where they tick. For some of us, it helps us figure out where we are emotionally because as we have to process our day, we actually realize some things about ourselves. But that is a whole lot easier to answer than what did you do today or how was your day? And if you make a habit of doing that every day, you're going to stay close and you're going to understand each other. So put some stuff in the calendar where it's you and your husband, but and then fit all the kids' stuff in around that. If you both work, make sure that you're still going to be home certain days where your marriage is going to be a priority. And then look at how you can reduce the time that you spend outside the house and get more organized with the time you spend inside the house. And then I think maybe, just maybe, you'll find that you do have more time with your husband. Thanks for joining us for the To Love, Honor, and Vacuum podcast on this Thursday when the school year is starting up again in many countries, and it is a great time to reevaluate what's on our plate and figure out how to reduce stress. Please do the challenge. I think it really will help your marriage. And drop me a line and let me know how it's going too. And find me at tolovehonorandvacuum.com this month for our series on how to reduce the stress that is causing us to drift apart. If you like this podcast, please give it a 5-star rating on iTunes or wherever you listen. And remember to subscribe too. Have a great week. Love your spouse and get your marriage on.